Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Before I answer that, are you about to turn the lights off?
No.
No, I'm good.
I will not do that.
Very rarely as an adult am I scared of the dark.
Okay, good.
But as a kid, yeah, that whole idea of like checking me on the shower curtain or
No, I'm talking about as an adult. Because nearly 3 in 10, so 30% of American adults remain afraid of the dark. I think working the shift has certainly changed a lot of that. Not that I was ever afraid of the dark as a kid. Everything, most people are, whatever. So outside of that, as an adult, getting up really early when it's still very dark, you know, walking out to my car when it's still very dark, that kind of makes it where you're not so scared anymore.
I'm not scared of the dark. I am cautious in the dark. Like, there's been bears in my neighborhood, so when I leave my house and it's dark, I usually keep a flashlight on my phone to have a little light.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's considered, you know, but there have been times when I've, like, not been sure what's around me. Maybe I am scared, yeah. I guess.
I think that's a healthy thing. Well, I am the same way. As soon as I walk out my front door, because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I know you're not out in the middle of nowhere, but there's still bears that walk around. And we have a bear and 3 cubs that we keep getting pictures of on our game camera. So I know they're not far up the path behind my house.
They're lurking.
So when I come out and I have a light on the porch, when I come out, I always take that, like, 15 seconds of, all right, stop, listen, because you can usually hear the deer, or I've heard a bear, and I survey, and then I strut on over to my car. So I think that that's healthy. I mean, scared is more of like,
you get
a little freaked out, or you go, I'm a little afraid if I hear a noise down in the basement.
You fear the worst anytime the lights are out.
So this is for adults. 2,000 Americans in a survey, 29% admit to fears of the dark. Men have slightly higher rates than women. What's wrong with you guys?
Because we have to save the women when there's a problem in the dark.
So a quarter of you will use a nightlight. So if you go to bed, you have a nightlight nearby. So if you have to get up, you turn the nightlight on. 10% of people will keep the lights on completely.
That's funny.
That's really weird. Men are twice as likely to sleep with lights on compared to women. This is so funny. After watching scary films, 28% of you will wake up more frequently at night and you have poor sleep quality. Men get more nightmares despite women feeling scared more often during horror movies. So they're kind of like talking about both here. So
yeah, I think for me, there's got to be some sort of, you know, something along with the darkness. Dark plus, like, I've had mice in my house because, you know, that's what you do.
Happens.
Yeah, it happens. And if I see a mouse, like, sometimes they look at you And then I'm going to, like, I can't, at that point, I don't want to, like, stay on the couch downstairs, even though I know the mouse isn't going to hurt me.
Right.
Just knowing it's around.
You're afraid.
And I've seen those videos on America's Funniest Video.
It's not the dark, it's the mouse. We're talking
about
the
dark. That's what I'm saying, but in the dark. I'm happy to stay there when the lights are on, but if I'm trying to sleep in that room where I know that would weird me out. So I think it's got to have something else. I'm not really scared of the dark.
And I'm not at all anymore, but I definitely was. Even, like, we have a basement and, you know, going down the steps. If you heard a noise, like, we would sometimes, you know, sometimes I have pets. They run around. But if something makes a loud noise, especially, like, I'm going to say in my 20s and 30s, you know, I might have been more concerned about, I always turn a light on, I don't want to fall down the steps.
And that's, again, a cautious thing, right?
Right, it's cautious. But, you know, I used to watch those ghost hunter shows, which are so stupid.
Let's listen back.
You know, like, and it's, I see an orb. No, you don't.
That's just a light. For
So I've lost that fear of it, mainly because of the shift that we have. Getting up that early when other people aren't. You know, when you're not used to that, it is weird. It is weird to be getting up and other people are sleeping and being out the door and walking out to your car. And I know when I used to work in downtown Wilkes-Barre, we used to have to drive at a parking garage and walk at that early hour. So that was scary more because of people, because of other things.
I mean, we all know that feeling of being somewhere.
It's like a vulnerability.
And you feel like you're in a zombie movie where you're the only one walking on the street late at night.
Right.
And you've seen enough movies to know you should look over your shoulder, but you also know if you look over your shoulder, if someone is following you, they're going to know you're onto them.
Right.
And that gets really tense. I don't know, but I wonder for this, when I hear adults who are scared of the dark, I think how my daughter was the other day. She overcame her fear of the dark a little bit because you have an area where you walk past a pantry and you have to flip a light switch on for the room unless you want to walk through in the dark. She didn't want to do that. And she was like, "Daddy, can you come here?" And I go, "What?" She goes, I don't want to go in there. It's dark. I said, just reach your hand around and get the lights. I'm coaching her. Right. And she goes, okay. And I go, I want you to be a strong woman. That's what I said to her. And she goes, okay, stand there. So she made me step back. And then she would walk up and she jumped back. And finally she went and she did it. But before she did that, I said, what are you afraid is going to happen? She's like, I don't know. It's dark. What if there's a spider or a monster? And I said, well, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
My son, on the other hand, I think he just isn't sure what to think anymore. And I think that's that. He told me, he's like, hey, can you come here for a second? I go, what? He goes, I just want to talk to you about something. And I found out he was like tricking me to turn the light on for him.
Oh, man.
Because he's at that age where he's like, I don't want to be tough.
I mean, we're talking about adults.
But I think that I'm saying, like, if an adult had that, that would be so.
No, they do. Some of them, that's 10% crazy. Are sleeping with a light on. What are you afraid of?
Dark.
Afraid of hearing something? I don't know.
Is it just not? I wonder what it is. If it's just because it can't be. I hope it's not. They're scared of monsters. I really hope that's not the case. There's something under the bed.
Well, you know, and coming, the hand coming up to get you. Horror films are one of the reasons why people fear the dark. Look, there's a lot. I got to be honest with you, especially as a woman. There's a lot of things if you live alone to be afraid of. I mean, unfortunately, we hear about people that stalk people that break into your home, people that could do you harm. So there's a healthy fear and wanting to be careful. I just find it so interesting that in the survey, it's not a lot more, but still to have more men having that fear than women is pretty funny.
I wonder, you know, if you think about like people who are like hypochondriacs, I grew up with my mom being kind of sort of that way. And it hangs on to you. So if I see a story in the news about, say, a new virus or what, it freaks me out a little bit until I kind of figure it out and get my bearings. One story can linger with me for a while. So there are weird stories every once in a while about some meth head who they find under someone's bed. I wonder if people who are scared of the dark hang on to the stories like a hypochondriac would hang on to something like that. And they just linger there. And every time they're in the dark, like, what if it's happening to me? Mm-hmm. I wonder if that happens because there are crazy stories that play to everyone's childhood fears.
Sure.
Once in a while.
A quarter of the people in the survey sleep with a nightlight. Yes. They still have a fear of the dark, though. One in 10, so 10%, also sleeps with a stuffed animal or other comfort item.
A mannequin.
Now, 28% of people that they talk to do love watching horror movies.
Sure.
I do not. I'm not. I like a good thriller. I don't like a gory horror movie.
Yeah.
But on the other end of the scale, about 21% of women hate horror movies. Only 7% of men say the same thing. And, you know, after watching a horror movie, men more likely to get nightmares compared to women. So are you into horror movies? And again, horror. To me, when I think of horror, I think of like something really in your face, gory, kind of like a Friday the 13th.
Or Nightmare on Elm Street, back
that
in
whole
the day,
thing. Then. So I like a thriller, but horror, I don't want to be scared. For the longest time, I'm not going to say years. I'm just going to say maybe a week. After watching It, walking out to my car, was not afraid that there was some killer clown. But I thought, you know, someone could really freak me out just by having a balloon. Because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, where it's a dirt road.
You don't expect to see balloons in the middle of nowhere.
And I kept thinking of like, okay, what if I walk out? Just a balloon off in the distance. It's like that surreal, that doesn't belong here.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
I desensitized myself to horror films years ago because I wanted to do horror special effects. So I kind of really was doing research and trying things out. However, a scary movie for me that will put me in this is the last time I can vividly remember being kind of terrified to being home alone in the dark was... it was the movie Monster. It's someone about Eileen Wuornos, the serial killer.
Oh, the serial killer.
Scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. The performance was it felt so real because it was a real story. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had to sleep with the lights on that night. I was an adult. That's embarrassing to admit. But I think there are certain things that will trigger you.
Right.
I'm surprised I can sleep after certain bills show up.
Right.
Because that triggers me as well.
But see, reality starts to set in. Is there a movie that you recall, and we'd love to hear from you folks. You can text us 570-883-0098. A movie that led you to be scared for some period of time after seeing the movie. Now, as an adult, much more interested in that. A lot of things can scare you. The Blob scared me when I was a kid. Scared me so much I wouldn't eat ketchup and I wouldn't eat Jell-O for a while. All right, I admit this.
Tis the season for the Blob stories. I was going to say, this is the time of year, though, when these are such a relevant conversation to have.
But we're talking about adults who are scared. So I'll say it was scary to me only because the balloon thing was freaky to me. Out of place, like weird. Outside of that movie, what was the other one that caused me to be... when I was 20s to 30, I'm reading Pet Sematary, Stephen King. Book, yeah. Not a movie. Had to stop. I've never read wanted to read a book and then just stopped cold in the middle of it. As soon as the kid came back after he died.
Spoiler.
Gage. I'm sorry. No, it's
so old. I'm kidding.
But I'm saying as soon as that happened, I'm like, all right, this is mentally disturbing me so that I cannot finish this book. But that's a book. But see, people love horror, and I know that my limits are only so far, and I don't want it to. There's enough in the world to worry about.
Would you be willing to be put to the test like tomorrow if I came with a bowl of Jell-O and some slime?
I can do the Jell-O now and slime. I can watch the Blob and be fine.
But
it was just creepy to me. Did you ever see the Blob?
I tried to. I didn't get as I found it to be more comical than scary.
It is very comical when you're older, but as a child.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was, you know.
Commercials for horror films used to freak me out. Look what Jaws did to people.
And then I finally got the nerve when I got older to watch Blob 2 or Return of the Blob.
Whoa.
And in that one, the guy is in the recliner watching the first Blob when the Blob eats him. And I'm sitting there going, I'm watching Blob 2. Where's the Blob now?
Wow, they're just breaking all the walls down there.
The Blob.
What's real?
A
what's
lot of
not?
You have been checking in. So text us the movie as an adult that scared you, like hung around for a while, that made your life a little iffy. How about that? Or made it tough for you to sleep at night or made you more nervous. I'm really curious to know.
I got to be honest real quick. That first segment, talking about people who are scared in the dark and segueing over to horror films has got me feeling like the world is a happy place again, which is terrifying because I feel like the world is...
The world is more...
Not,
you know what the thing
it's
is?
It's not fun right
the
now.
The world is more scary, the reality sometimes now, than the fantasy used to be.
Well, I think that's what I said about the movies that scare me. The ones that are based in reality, like that actually could happen. That's the scary stuff. I think that's why Jaws did so well. Wasn't because it was a monster shark.
Oh, yeah.
It's because these
it
are
could
out
happen.
There. Right.
Exorcist. Exorcist, of course, someone said that. I could never watch those demonic ones. I did see that movie, but they bothered me. You know, what was the other one? Something Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. Yucky. Someone else said Birds. The movie scared me as a kid. Another said Fire in the Sky. And another had nightmares for weeks when the Eagles had to play against the 20-time Super Bowl winning Patriots. So there you go.
Again,
things that make you scared.
It happens in real life.
Things that make you scared as an adult. All right. Let's talk a little bit about former Scranton Mayor Bill Courtwright. He will be released from custody today. Back in 2020, he was sentenced to 7 years in prison on federal corruption charges. So 5 years of his sentence now completed. And, you know, a lot of times you can get out for good behavior and all that stuff. He did plead guilty in 2019 to charges involving criminal conspiracy, bribery and extortion. There was a multi-year undercover probe headed by the FBI. And the undercover investigation captured the former mayor accepting cash payments from vendors doing business with the city. God. It's just crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? Anyway, he will be, it looks like, scheduled to be released today from a residential re-entry office, which many people call halfway houses, right? A place in Philadelphia. So out after 5 years. And boy, has time changed since then. You know, from think back to 2019 to 2025.
I remember before his arrest, there were all... First time I ever had like a source. Someone came to me and said, this is about to happen. And then it didn't happen for like months. But then it did. And they kept saying that, and it sounded preposterous that he was going to wait till his daughter's wedding. Do you remember that part of the story?
By the time he would turn himself in or something.
He waited till his daughter's wedding. And I guess that maybe that was the deal. And then
that's
preposterous. Well, it's nice, but
because
still,
you
if
would you want your dad there, but yeah,
oh, I understand.
Like, let's handle
from their
kid
perspective.
Gloves.
Yeah. But I was like, I was, you know, his daughter got married and 3 days later he turned himself in. And that was, we are.
He will be, it says release date, 10/15. I'm looking at the Scranton Times Tribune. And again, he's at a Philadelphia, as they call, halfway house. And, you know, that's the expectation because when they look there, the release date is said to be October the 15th. So, again, that would be 5 years served of a 7 year sentence. He was first elected Scranton mayor back in 2013, reelected 4 years later. And then amid that corruption scandal, he did resign in 2019. So out today, it looks like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just think about this playing at Beaver Stadium and feeling like, yeah, we are going to use this song to power us to victory. Now we really need the prayer going into this
weekend. I really hope
this turns around.
That there's a huge turnout for the next home game, which is Indiana, right? Isn't that the next one? I believe so.
And that's a tough game.
Oh, it's already going to be a tough game. I mean, obviously, there's always a hope that they'll be able to win. I think that they really just need to show the support that people have for the team.
Yep.
Because I think that it's been a really, really rough go, obviously.
From perspective, this team has been through a lot worse and fans have been through a lot worse.
Oh, sure.
So this is really a bump in the road. We really should just rally behind the team.
But hopefully people will come out and be supportive of the players who, in the midst of all this, are dealing with it. All right, we'll get back to that.
Yeah,
talking about that as well.
I heard the song and it inspired that
memory. True, though. I mean, that it's a big thing going on right now. Wilkes University, it looks like they are facing some serious financial trouble. There was a letter sent to the campus community where the university admitted to what they are calling a breakdown in process and a failure in leadership.
Ouch.
That's really wild. And they did cite some discouraging findings in a recent review of its operations. So the letter was signed by the university president and the board of trustees chair. And they say they are that Wilkes University is looking at a $7 million deficit this year. And they say that's a pretty good amount of their overall budget. And last year, there was a $2.8 million deficit. And they said that came as a surprise. So what is it about? Why? And some of the things that they talk about, financial systems that aren't up to the task. They said they have been deficient. Processes and tools that do not provide the clarity or rigor required to guide a university of our size and complexity. Help me out here, right? So they also say they should have asked harder and more, questions about the university's finances. They say they are taking responsibility for the oversight and committed to fixing the issue. So they're going to hold three town halls in the coming weeks to discuss recovery plans. This sounds pretty darn serious. Now, they are apologizing for not involving the faculty and staff sooner. So is this an oh crap kind of moment? They do have a somewhat hopeful tone in the letter.
That's the weird part. Explain this to me, because they talk about this $7 million shortfall, right?
Yeah, but they're like, it's still financially sound. They said they have a positive reputation, popular programs, relatively low debt. And they say that they have a history of resilience and a firm foundation for long-term stability.
Then why all the alarm?
Right. We know that there are colleges throughout not just Pennsylvania, but across the country under a lot of strain. And so they're saying, you know, Pennsylvania State University, as we know, closing some of its Commonwealth campuses, other ones like Keystone College that have just been going through some struggles. We know Baptist Bible College, Clark Summit University had to close entirely. So, I don't know if a part of me thinks that you're going to see layoffs. Part of me thinks you're going to see AI come into the picture, as we see a lot. When they talk about outdated financial processes and systems, it sounds to me like a way to pave the path for a lot of times you can have artificial intelligence that can help you find out where the problems are. You know, you can make these programs work better and identify issues and crunch numbers, so to speak. And unfortunately, I think when things like that happen, usually they just kind of cut down on some of the staff as well.
I cringe when I see things like, it was a failure. Were they failure in leadership? Is that what they said? Mm-hmm. Or leadership? Something they basically say failure in leadership.
They're taking responsibility.
But then at the end, the letter says, we have to make difficult choices. We'll make them together. It's like, whoa, hang on a second. We didn't cause this. Now we are going to work on this together.
Well, three town hall sounds like they're preparing to tell you that things are going to be cut. There will be some things cut. I'm sure of it.
Town halls more and more just seem less productive and more like, hey, it's a chance for you to yell at us.
It's a PR management thing so they can say, well, we're being transparent and we're talking to you about it. They're going to have to make some changes and right size. As they said, the leadership will work to right size expenses to balance the budget. Now, how else do you save money, right? Mm-hmm. But to make cuts. And they said, we will have to make some difficult choices, but we will make them together.
You did nothing to cause this,
and
but
when they,
we will fix it together.
And they say the road ahead requires discipline, innovative solutions, and collaborations. And that's why when I hear all those things, mm-hmm. innovative solutions sounds to me like, oh, we'll have to streamline and some people maybe sure. let go and then we'll have other systems that will take over. Anyway, that's Wilkes University admitting that there is a $7 million shortfall, and it sounds like they were taken a bit surprised by it.
I hear collaboration. I hear consolidation. You know, a job you could do, that person's job. Here's an innovative idea. You don't come in anymore.
Right.
I just feel like there's changes like that. That's a scary place to be.
It is.
As I hear this song, we're talking about adults who are scared of the dark. You mentioned, you know, certain horror films that scared you as a kid or right. maybe as an adult. If you think about it, just the premise of the movie Footloose, which I'm guessing you saw.
I vaguely remember it.
If
yeah.
you take the premise and don't make it a fun dancing movie, you could be like, all they are is innocent children in a town right. controlled by a man who says, if you dance, bad things will happen.
Yes. What a
and
world.
You know, when they sneak off, it's like the Friday the 13th thing. They're like, horny kids are going in the woods and then bad right. things happen. These kids danced and then they all died. Like, that's the chicken scene with the two construction pieces. Like, right. I can't stop it. Like, there could have been, there's a lot of horror that could happen. So let's fund that. Let's make a horror version of Footloose.
Okay.
You have how much you throwing in? A couple bucks?
It is 6:48.
I'll take that as a
at
no money.
WILK, 52 degrees on this Wednesday, October the 15th. All right. Quickly, just want to mention when we talk Penn State, we talked a lot about that. And, you know, we'll wait. It's going to take a while for them to sort out who will be the coach. One thing I truly believe is that James Franklin being on the market now for other teams is going to make a lot of other coaches a lot more money.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. The fact that, again, it's not going to be the higher level teams, and it's no insult to, you know, there are just some programs that aren't going to be top tier, obviously, even looking for a coach. But I do think that him being there and him leaving Penn State, and that vacancy is going to make a lot of other coaches a lot of money, because all they have to do is talk to another coach for the Penn State job. And that coach is going to make more money if they want him to stay at their current organization. All these other coaches, I find it funny when they, a lot of these Penn State publications are like, well, so-and-so didn't say no when asked if he'd take the Penn State job. Let's be honest, they're not going to say no, because you know their agent is going to say, make it look like you may be available, because if you're going to be up for a renewal or an extension, of course, having an opening where someone may be interested in you will make you more money if they want you to stay. You know what I'm saying?
I got it.
So it's not just James Franklin at other places, but it's the opening at Penn State that will lead other organizations to pay more to keep their coaches, just in case they... Well, look what happened with James Franklin. It looks like he may go somewhere else in 2020 to 21. And what do? Give him a 10-year crazy extension. And that's what happens when they think you might leave. So anybody who thinks they know who is going to be the next coach right now is crazy. Nobody knows right now. They have a wish list, I'm sure. But knowing who it is, there's a lot of clickbait accounts all of a sudden popping up also on my feed on X,
right.
which is like blue and white this or Penn State that. And it's like, I heard this, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, you just started this account.
I was thinking crazy. About the unexpected, how complicated this story could get by two things happening for the rest of the season. They beat Ohio State and Indiana.
Right.
Can you imagine? Then what do you do?
I
think.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing for Terry Smith. That's a good thing for Terry Smith, the interim coach, right? And they've said he is absolutely in the running.
I think they have to. They always have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine? I don't think they really want him as the coach.
It would be awesome, but.
Can you imagine that situation where they're just like, oh boy.
Right.
Now what?
Right. Well.
Well, yeah.
That's an uphill climb, I think we
it's
all know.
It's a good problem
that,
to have, I guess, right?
I think we're very curious, are we not, to see what will happen on the field this weekend. They are playing at Iowa. And this, you know, I've seen a number that say these players on the team are a higher level players than are on the Iowa team. But the question is, Where right. are they at? Has the coaching failed them? Did they lose confidence? Will a new coach inspire them? Will the whole, our coach got fired and it's all our fault, which we've heard some of them say. Is that going to motivate them or is that going to make them feel worse? We'll see what happens.
Well, it's like anything. You could have the most high quality parts for anything, but if you don't have a instruction manual, you're not going to be able to put anything together. Like right. you need that person on top to make that happen. I got to say, just some advice from somebody, me, who is in love with a perpetually going to fix it next year franchise, the Cleveland Browns. It is a lot of fun because you spend most of your season sad. Then you start getting optimistic, and the speculation part of it is part of the fun. Who's the next coach going to be? Oh, I wonder what kind of players we can get. Ooh, who might leave? What could happen? There's a lot. I like that stuff. Then again, I've been doing it since like 86. Mm-hmm. It really messes with your head, I guess.
Right.
It's very easy. Very easy. And hands off to be a fan of a team that wins all the time.
Sure.
This is a fun time just to enjoy the ride of the changes to come.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that makes this very difficult, it would be one thing if you still had Drew Aller to play, but nothing against Ethan Grunkmeyer, but having not been playing, you know, outside of being thrown in at the end of a game when you're already comfortably up, is a lot to put on his shoulders as well. So it's going to be very telling. And who knows? I mean, I've read really great things about him and his abilities. Could it be just the something that they've been missing? Who knows? But we will find out this weekend. That game is on at 7 o'clock, and you can only get it on streaming, right? Peacock, I believe it's on. But you can listen to it on WILK. Our pregame coverage begins on Saturday at 5:30. PM.
One thing, by the way, I'm looking at real quick. Ethan Grunkmeyer, they said coming out of high school, was a 4-star recruit, yep. The 8th quarterback in the country.
Yep. Yep. So, like I said, I've heard great things about him.
Maybe there's with a new coach. Yeah.
There is certainly great possibilities for him. And look, he hasn't just been sitting there during practice all this time. He's certainly been practicing with them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that Generation Z are not able to identify from 1990s. We're talking technology and pop culture. So they surveyed a bunch of Generation Z folks, 2,000 of them, and found that there were some things they didn't know when they saw pictures of them. Things like chunky tube televisions. I'm surprised by that. There are still people who have old, big, chunky. I mean,
you'd figure they'd have something.
But also, 3/4 don't understand dial-up internet. You know, that they could not identify Sony Walkmans, which I'm, you know, that was an 80s thing. The Windows 95 startup sounds. Huh? They didn't get that. CD-ROMs, VHS tapes, floppy disks. Remember all these? Also, what I find funny is disposable cameras. There is a huge resurgence right now in digital cameras. So my daughter happened to find an old one that I had at the house, an old Sony, you know, one, maybe 12 megapixel, I think it is, or something like that. She has taken that with her to college. So when I was down there last weekend, down at the bar, you know, with the game going on, I can't tell you how many people in that bar, young people, have digital cameras. They have made a resurgence. You can get them now online. And
what's the reason, though?
Is I think it's they like the pictures better. They like the portability of it. They like not having to use up the storage
on their phone. That would be a big one. Okay.
And I'll tell you, when she took this camera, I said, listen, I'll send you a, because she's like, how do I get the pictures off? Because it had the clunky, this is one from probably 2015.
Right.
And it had the thing where you had to, you know, USB cord into the back. So I look online and they had the cord that goes right into your phone. So it had the connector to go right into her phone, and she takes the pictures and then she can look through them and just save the ones she wants and tosses the rest away. It is a huge, huge thing for young people today.
Yeah, I'm sitting here maybe going through all my bills recently. I pay, I think, $10 a month for extra cloud storage.
Right.
I'll bet over a year I could buy myself one of these digital, these newfangled digital cameras.
Well, and they're not cheap, which is why when we found the one that we found, I mean, you can get an off-brand one. I bought her at first one that was like $39.99, and it had some name I'd never heard before. And it was honestly, it felt plastic and light. Took some good pictures, though.
Yeah.
But when she found the other one, the Sony, she liked that one better. Go online and look for a digital camera, though. They are pricey. You're not going to get them cheap. And they are making them now because young people really, really love them.
Hmm.
But old-fashioned GPS, they don't understand that. They go, well, what's the point of that?
Well, I've thought that, too. Like, can you believe we used to put this on our dashboard? Before we take a break for news, can I confuse, was it a Gen Zer?
Sure.
Yeah, that's for
that's
them. That's what all humans thought of in their mind when they had an idea. That was the
right.
That's hilarious that they don't know what that is.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's time and everything is at the quickening so much more exponentially that they just, you know, things moved on so fast. Didn't stick around very long.
Just wait till the next generation. It's going to be even worse.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.